Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Dalad. We will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, the eighth wide line. We learned the Masechta Shel Malachim Harei Mataris. The Mishnah taught us that the pedestals on which they put the Avodah Zarah for the kings, Harei Mataris, are mutter, Neshem Amidin Aysa B'Shah Shel Malachim Ivrim, because they're put there when the kings travel. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. Is it because they're just put up when the kings pass Mutarim? That makes them permissible? The fact is that they're used for the Avodah Zarah, and therefore, since they're used for the Avodah Zarah, the halacha ought to be that they're usher, like all other pedestals that we've learned previously that are used for Avodah Zarah. Answers the Gemara. This is the way to understand Pshat in the Mishnah. Since they're only put up for when the king will travel, and the king doesn't always necessarily travel on the road that they said he will travel, therefore it's not considered really a pedestal of Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's not Asur. So there are many Pshatim and the Rishonim how to understand this Gemara, but there are three primary approaches on how to understand this Gemara. One approach is that they were put, that the Gemara is saying, we're referring to a situation that they were put up with the assumption that the king is traveling down this road, and he ends up not traveling down this road. And since he never ended up traveling down the road, that makes that it was never used for worship of Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's not also one approach. Another approach is, since it's understood that it's not necessarily going to be that the king will travel down this road, because the king has a number of options which road to travel on, so that creates a situation where the entire placing, this entire pedestal, sort of a tenuous situation, because it's not necessarily going to be used or not, and because it's such a weak designation, it's not considered in the category of Bumus Yoishlav Akum. A third shot, a very different approach, is that it was used, and it was used for the king. However, what happened was that when the king would pass away, the new king would start with his own set of Avodah Zarah, and the death of the previous king makes that all of his Avodah Zarah is a bottle, because the new king has his new Avodah Zarah. And Pshat is, Melachim Ivrim doesn't mean passing on a road. Melachim Ivrim means passing from the world. Melachim Ivrim, or Melachim Nechim Derech Suvachim Derech Acheres, the new king has his own new Avodah Zarah, and all the old Avodah Zarah becomes bottle. Says the Gemara, Ke'as Ula, when Ula came, Yasma Bismut Tegima, he sat on a damaged pedestal. And the Rishonim discuss what kind of a damage did this pedestal have. Many Rishonim are of the opinion that it was a minor damage, which leads them to ask that if it was a minor damage, how do we know the person who made that owned this Bismut was Mevatlet, maybe he never saw the damage since it's minor. So one shot that I saw the Rishonim suggest is that although it's minor, and it's in a place that's noticeable, and therefore we could safely assume that it was noticed and was nullified. Another shot is that even if it's not in a place where it's noticeable, but because the Akum constantly worships and looks at his pedestal, he's always examining it, and as soon as he sees a damage in it, he discards it. The Tosefta has a third pshat. The Tosefta says that the Gemara is not referring to a situation where it's a minor damage. The Gemara here is actually referring to a situation where it's major damage, and therefore we could be certain that it was noticed. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that this Gemara is only referring to a situation where the damage might have happened by itself. But in a case where we know that it was intentionally damaged, going back to our previous year. Intentional damage, any intentional damage of a pedestal would be considered that you mevatel it, and it would no, certainly not be an avodah zarah. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out, also based on previous shurim, a pedestal is only considered a pedestal with the issues that we're discussing as long as the avodah zarah is actually on it. But if the avodah zarah is not actually on it, then it's certainly not considered a pedestal. So again, says the Gemara, Kiyasa Ula, Yosef Apisma Pegim, he sat on this damaged pedestal. Amalei Rav Yehuda Ula, V'ha Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavayu, both Rav and Shmuel Paskin, Tabi Mishon Nifkam, even if you have this pedestal that's damaged, Osir, and continues the Gemara. V'afila Amman Da'amr, even according to the opinion that holds, Ein Oivdim L'Shvarim, that if an Avodah Zarah is broken, it's no longer worship, says the Gemara. Han yimili avodah kachavim. That's strictly avodah zarah, because zila b'milsa l'mivdach l'shvarim. Akum find it degrading to worship an avodah zarah that's damaged. Aval hai, this, given that it's only a pedestal, layech b'slei. So why are you assuming that just because it's damaged, it's no longer considered avodah zarah? Amalei. So he responded, Man yomvlon mi'afra the Rav the Shmuel, halvai we could have from the sand when Rav and Shmuel are buried, umalin and anayim. I'm not looking, chas v'shalom says Ula, to disparage Rav and Shmuel. They are so very great. And in fact, the Paiskim say, based on this Gemara, that the earth of a place where a tzaddik is buried has kedusha, and can be and is has powerful effect to bring refuah. There's a Gemara that says that the earth from around the grave of Rav is effective for certain diseases. Of course, the Pesukim can discuss that how could you take the earth where somebody is buried, anything that's close to a kever is also b'hanah. And therefore, the Pesukim can suggest that when we say that the earth is mutter, we're only referring to situation, not the earth that was dug up, and that was, or that the mace is buried in. We're talking about the hard earth near the kever. Only that earth would be mutter. For he says, "Harab Yochanan Reish Lakish Damer Tavayu." I'm following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that both hold that bimish and nifkam, a pedestal that damages mutter. For he continues to say, because a filo mandama, even according to the opinion that oivdim l'shvarim, that an avodah zarah that's damaged, the akum continue to worship, says the Gemara, hani mili avodah kachavim. That's strictly the avodah zarah itself. The kiv and the polcha, since they were actually worshiping this avodah zarah, zila b'milsa levatla, they find it degrading to take their avodah zarah and discard it. Aval, the bimus, since it's only a pedestal for the avodah zarah, it's not the actual avodah zarah. Shakli lahai, they remove it if it gets damaged. Umay sabim sachrina, and they bring a different pedestal. And therefore, certainly, if it's damaged, it's bottle. It says the Gemara, Tanya kavosei de Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. There's actually a brisa which concurs. Bima shenifkam, if a bimus is damaged, it's mutter. Mizbeach, however, Mizbeach shenifkam, a Mizbeach that's used for Avodah Zarah, it osur, it remains prohibited, at Shiyiv in the Tzruba, until most of it is destroyed. Ask the Gemara, how do we distinguish Hechidami Bimus, Hechidami Mizbeach? How do we know which is a Bimus and which is a Mizbeach? Says the Gemara, Amrav Yaakov or Idi Amrav Yochanan. Bimus is one stone, Evan Achas, Mizbeach is made up of vanim harbe of many stones. So the Gemara has just taught us, that a Mizbeach, which is made up of many stones, to be considered nifkam, you have to have that most of the stones were damaged. Omer Chizkiya, Mikra, from where does the, what is the base, what is the source to teach us that a Mizbeach is only considered Nifkam, when most of its stones are damaged. Tysus goes into the historical timeline that Chizkiah was before these Amoraim, so how could Chizkiah be explaining something that they said? The Pasuk says in Yeshayo, the Navi says that if Klal Yisrael want that the tsaros that are afflicting them should go away, they have to leave the worship of Avodah Zarah. Says the Pasuk, the Navi says to Klal Yisrael, Besumai kol avnei mizbeach, when you will take all of the stones of the mizbeach, and you will make them avnei kir menupatzois, you'll grind them up like chalk, lo yikumim asherim v'chamonim. Then we know you're no longer worshipping Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, what's pshat in the Pasuk? If you grind them all up, then I know, then we could be certain that you won't go back to worshipping Avodah Zarah. But if you don't grind them up, we need to be concerned you're going to go back to your old ways of worshipping Avodah Zarah. Even though, say the Rishonim, that the Pasuk says, is speaking about Kol Avnei Mizbeach, that in order for the Mizbeach to become nullified, all of the stones need to be ground up. Since we have a rule throughout Shas that Rubik Kula, the majority is like everything, the halacha is you don't have to have all of the stones ground up. If most of the stones are ground up, it's considered batal. Tana, says the Gemara, we learn in the following Braisa. The halacha is, we've learned this halacha previously, that if somebody, that a Baal Chai, a living animal, cannot become Avodah Zarah. And therefore, even if an animal was worshipped, that animal itself doesn't become an Avodah Zarah. It does, however, become usur to be used on the Mizbeach. You can't bring an animal that was worshipped as a carbon. Says the Braisa, Shaloi usur, if somebody himself worshipped his animal, then that animal becomes an Avodah Zarah. V'shal chaveroi, but if somebody else worshipped somebody else's animal, mutter, he doesn't have the ability to make someone else's animal fall into the category of nevat. Going back to a concept that we discussed many times, ein adam oyser dover she'ena shaloi. Ask the Gemara of Reminu, it says in a braisa, eizu nevad, what is considered a situation of nevad? Kol she'ov den oysai, any animal that was worshipped. And actually Rashi says that there really is no difference between Mezid and Rotzen. The Arishayim to disagree. But Rashi says there's no difference between Mezid and Rotzen. So why does the Braisa mention both Mezid and Rotzen? Because there is a difference between Shoigig and Oynes. Shoigig means that you were careless. You didn't pay attention that what you're doing is Osir. Oynes doesn't mean you were careless. Oynes, as we'll discuss soon, means that you were a victim of circumstances beyond your control. So since there's a difference between Shoigig and Oynes, the Braisa also mentions Mezid and Rotzen, which, although according to Rashi, they're really identical. So here the Braisa says that even if something was worshipped by Oynes, the halach is it falls into the category of Nevad. Analyzes the Gemara. Hi Oynes Hechidami. Exactly what is the situation of Oynes? Because as Tosfos and other Rishonim discuss, certainly to say that if somebody owns an animal, Reuven owns an animal, Tosfos says this, and Shimon goes and pushes Reuven down in front of his animal, that act is not considered Reuven's act. Because he was totally beyond his control. Shimon pushed him down. Furthermore, to say that it's referring to a situation, the Rishonim say, where somebody has an animal in the street, and somebody walks by, it's my animal, and somebody walks by and bows down to that animal, and I had absolutely no control over that event. I can't control who walks in the street and sees my animal. The Rishonim say it's inconceivable to say that my animal could become nevad. You can never control that situation. Furthermore, the Rishonim try to eliminate all the suggestions that the Gemara doesn't mention. The third situation, the Gemara mentions many times, the concept of Teluyu of Zovin, where somebody was forced to sell something, that they say can't be Oynus. Because even if we'll say the Teluyu of Zovin, Lav Zvin Zovin, that if I was forced to sell something, halachically it's not considered a valid transaction, at the end of the day I did get the money. And that can't be considered Oynus. So what is the case of Oynus, asked the Gemara, what is the case of Oynus that the Brisa says it's going to be considered an oinus? Lav isn't in such a situation. Could go into onas, behemus chaveroi, where somebody took somebody else's animal, somebody forcefully took away someone else's animal, v'shtachvalo, and he bowed down to it. And what is the Brisa teaching us? It's considered nevad. But we quoted a Brisa a moment ago, that only the owner of an animal can make it into a nevad, no one else. So how do we understand this contradiction? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rama Bachama. The case here is, Kigoyin Shin Sua Oiv De Kachavim. The Akum forced someone to worship his own animal. Reuven owns an animal. And Reuven was threatened with his life, that if you won't worship your animal, we will kill you. And therefore, v'shtachvel behem to the day. And he bowed down to his own animal. And since he bowed down to his own animal, it's considered that it's not someone, and that's why it's fine, that's why it's considered nevad. Ask the Gemara, if somebody bowed down to his own animal by force because he was nenas, maskler abzeira, we have a klal throughout Shas, throughout Halacha, that Oynus Rachmana Patre, if somebody did something under duress, he's potter. As we learned, where is the source for that halacha? The ksiv, that if a girl was violated, the halacha is, ulanara loisasa dover. She's not held responsible, because it was beyond her control. So why, if someone was forced, is it considered that he worshipped Avodah Zarah? He's an Oynus. Oynus Rachmana Patre. So the Rishonim, we could spend the rest of the shiur, we won't, just discussing this concept. The Rishonim ask, how can we bring a raya from the halacha of lenaro lesasa dover? A woman in the act of bia is a passive participant. That's called halachically karka oilam. And therefore, how do we bring a raya from that circumstance to all other areas of halacha that oynus rachmana patre? So the Rishonim respond, a number of terutzim. She not necessarily was passive. The Torah says it's din under all circumstances. Doesn't differentiate if she was passive or active. Furthermore, Taisva says, the halacha is that a woman equal to a man is not allowed to participate in a act of gilui arayos. There's no heter if she doesn't actively participate. We say karka oilam. So we see that karka oilam is not a heter. Oynus Rachmana Patre, the Mefarshim explain, why does the Gemara use the words Rachmana? Oynus Rachmana Patre, why Rachmana? So one pshat that I saw is, Rachmana means Loshen Rachmanas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you look at it, at the end of the day, he did the Aveira. Only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the Midas HaRachmanas, and he doesn't count as if he did the Aveira. Another pshat that I saw is that a person could say that he's an Oynus. But he could say it, but we don't know it's true. The only one that really knows if he was an Oynus is Rachmana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But of course here, and this is the heart of the sugya, there's a fundamental question. Yes, he's an Oynus. Yes, he's an Oynus. And the Gemara is therefore suggesting, since he's an Oynus, he shouldn't be considered, the animal should not be considered a Nevad because he bowed down to it. Asked Rishonim, but here we're talking about Avodah Zarah. And Avodah Zarah, unlike all other Averis in the Torah, the halach is Yaharig Val Yavar. You have to let yourself get killed. So what are we saying? He's an Oynus. There's no heter of Oynus by Avodah Zarah. So there are three answers given. There are many more. We're going to give three answers. This is fundamental answers. One answer is, yes, the halach is that a person's supposed to be ready to give up his life. In fact, I saw from the Shlah that if somebody's supposed to give up his life, al kiddush Hashem, he's supposed to make a bracha. However, that doesn't mean that if he didn't do that, that he did an aveira. The Torah wants him to give up his life, but he can't be considered a bal aveira. The rule of Onus Rachmana Patre still applies. One pshat. Another pshat, beautiful pshat, is as follows. You could force somebody to do something externally. You could hold a gun to his head and make him do something. But you can't force a person to feel something. That's in his heart. What is pshat nevad? That you accepted it for avodah zarah. So the Akum could go to this Jew and put a gun to his head and say, you better bow down to this animal. And he'll bow down. He didn't do the right thing. But that doesn't make it a nevad, because the Akum can't make the Jew believe in his heart that it's an avodah zarah. And to be a nevad, it means that you accepted it as your God. That the Akum, that nobody could force. But the third pshat is a very lamdish pshat. What is the definition of Oynes Rachmana Patre? How does the halacha look at Oynes Rachmana Patre? And there are mefarshim, the Brisker Rav discusses this, a lot of achronim discuss this, that Oynes Rachmana Patre separates the person from the act. An act that I did under duress is not pshat that I did this, but I'm potter because Oynes Rachmana Patre. An act done by Oynes is not my act. Something done by Oynes doesn't mean I did it. When is it considered nevad? If I was nevad, Rahman al-Tzlan. If Oynes, I didn't do anything. Because Oynes means I didn't do it. Ask the Gemara, Maskler of Zera, Maskler of Elamirav. So again, ask the Gemara. So what, if he's an Oynes, why is it considered a nevad? Elamirav. Hakol hoy b'chlal loysa avdim. The halacha is that you're not allowed to worship avodah zarah. Then the Torah teaches us, famous pasuk, "Ushipar l'cha kosev, v'chay behem v'lo shiabes behem." That even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do the mitzvahs, not at the cost of our life. Yotza oynus. And therefore, if a person is forced to do an aveira, he should not do it. If a person is under duress, he should do what he has to do. However, the Torah says, "V'hada kosev rechmona, v'lo sechalu ashem kotshi, dafil ba'oynus." That even if a person is forced, he should give up his life. How do we reconcile the two psukim? Here it says, don't give up your life. Here that says, give up your life. How do we reconcile the two psukim? Habit sinna, habit farasya. If the person is going to worship avodah zarah but sinna, he should rather worship the avodah zarah than do avodah zarah. Here, where it's in public, he should give up his life. And therefore, the simple way of understanding Rava is as follows. Since the halacha is, according to this explanation, that if it's beferesia, the person is supposed to give up his life. If the person didn't give up his life, it's considered that he was Oved Avodah Zarah. And since it's considered he was Oved Avodah Zarah, that's why he doesn't have the excuse of NNS, and the animal becomes Nevad. So how do we understand Rava? In counter-distinction to Reb Zera, Rava says that if you weren't supposed to worship the avodah zarah, if you were supposed to give up your life, you did an aveira, you don't have the excuse of oynus, and therefore the animal becomes nenas, it becomes nevad. Another way of explaining, which is a little more lomdish, is going back to what I said a moment ago. The machloikas between Rav and Reb Zera is a very lomdish machloikas. Reb Zera holds that what does oynus mean? Oynus means that you're separate. Oynus means that it's not my act. Rava says that you can't say that if you did something, you didn't do it. The halacha can't create magic. I did something, I didn't do it. The halacha could say I did it and I'm allowed to do it. The halacha could say I did it and I'm potter. But I certainly did it. And if I wasn't allowed to do it, therefore the animal becomes a nevad. In fact, there's a shtickl raya to this mahalach. On the al-chetz that we say on Yom Kippur, we say, Al-Chet Shechatan Al-Fanecha Ba'oynes U'Baratzen. So it's a very difficult Al-Chet to understand. We're learning that a sugi of Oynes Rachmana Patre. So why do we have to say Al-Chet Ba'oynes? Oynes Rachmana Patre. But if we follow Rava's understanding of Oynes, then Oynes is not to be understood that it's not considered that I did the Aveira. It's considered I did the Aveira just as a Ptor, so I maisa did a maisa aveira. And if I, in reality, did a maisa aveira, al chait. I have to say al chait for it. How will Rav Zeira, according to us, explain bainus b'ratzin? So I sort of first explain that if a person does an aveira, indeed, einus rachmana patri, as we're learning. But let's say we see that this person didn't only do this aveira b'einus. He did a b'ratzin also. His excuse of einus falls away. If we did this aveira b'ratzin, now we need a kapara even for when we did it b'einus. The Gemara here is following the opinion that certainly b'faresia, somebody has to give up his life rather than be oivet avodah zarah. And as I said, Rava's opinion could be consistent even according to opinion that doesn't differentiate between tzina and faresia. Why is avodah zarah different? So the Chazon Ish explains, because our purpose in life is to be mekadesh shem shemayim. Avodah zarah is just the opposite. Avodah zarah represents chilul shem shemayim, and therefore a person has to be ready to give up his life instead of being oivet avodah zarah. What does tzina mean? What does faresia mean? How many people? So the Rishonim will say faresia means 10 people. The Mechitz Chinuch has a discussion. When we say 10 people, is the person who's worshipping the avodah zarah one of the 10? Or you need 10 without the person who's worshipping the avodah zarah? I saw the Steichemet makes an interesting point. The Steichemet says that here we're saying that faresia means 10 people. That's pretty unanimous. We know that 3 people is already considered a mezumen. 3 people is already considered a group. So why here is the halacha of 10? So he makes the following distinction. He says there are 2 types of situations. There's one situation where I want to make sure that something becomes well known. So the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra says, once 3 people know about something, you can be certain that the whole world will know about it. Chavra chavra islay. But that doesn't mean that it's public. Public, doing something in public, means that it was done in front of people. Amalei Rabbanan L'Rava, say the Rabbanan to Rava, Tanya de Mesailach, I'll bring you a raya. The Braisa says, B'mesoyos shel Oivdei Kechavim B'shas Gzeira, the B'mesoyos of the Akum, in a time where the Akum are decreeing that we have to worship Avodah Zarah, Apish Gzeira Botla, now the decree Baruch Hashem was nullified, Oisin B'mesoyos Le Botla. Why? Because although they were worshipped under duress, now we're learning that Rava teaches us there's no excuse of einus, and that's why those avodah zarah remain asur. Amalei, so he says, imishim ha, that price is not a raya, not necessary a raya to us, like the sign. Because Amer, we could say that those mizbeches are not asur because they were worshipped under duress. We could say Yisrael mumahava, maybe they were worshipped freely. That everybody would agree would make it a avodah zarah. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says the same point, just he says it stronger. Loi tema emer, it's not just something that we should think about. Elevadai, we certainly could assume that there are enough Jews, Rachman Son, in those days, that worshipped avodah zarah, and certainly Yisrael mumahava palachle baratzen, that Yisrael worshipped it willingly. Chizkiah gives a different tarot to our original question. What was our original question? That we had a stira between the brises. One brise indicates that if an animal was worshipped by somebody else, the animal doesn't become a nevet, not by its owner. The other brise says it does. How do we reconcile it? Answers Chizkiah, kigon shenisach lavodes chavim yayin al karnel. When the actual animal was used for avodah zarah, when they poured wine on the animal itself, that is a physical act to the animal, and that's why it's more awesome. Ask the Gemara, Maskelar of Adabrahava, just because wine was poured on the animal, hay nevedhu, hay bimus balmuhu. And we're trying to explain why is the animal compared to a bimus, going back to what we learned early in this year. The bimus is a one stone pedestal, and the animal is one shtik behema. Visharye. So why is it mutter? Why should it be also just because wine was poured on it? Ella, says the Gemara, Amr of Adabar Hava, Kigon Shinisach Layayim Bekanel, Dovah Bemaisa. So the 2 explanations I saw in the Rishonim how to understand what Adabar Hava says. One explanation is that it's not just that the animal was used as a service for Avodah Zarah. The animal itself is the Avodah Zarah. And since the animal itself is the Avodah Zarah, and not just that it's animal, they poured wine on the animal that they designated as an Avodah Zarah, that's a very high level of Avodah Zarah, that even if it's not your animal, it becomes a Nevad. One explanation. Another explanation I saw in the Rishonim is that they made a hole in the head of the animal to have as a receptacle where to pour the wine. So since they made that physical change, that physical act in the animal itself, that's why it's considered a Nevad. Says the Gemara, we have a basis to say this distinction. Where a physical act was done to the animal, the halach is different. If you bow down to someone's animal, it doesn't become nevad. If you actually do a maisa, that's a whole different situation in asra. Amalhu Rav Nachman. Pukav amalel ula. Go tell ula, you haven't said anything new, that we haven't previously learned. Because kvatigmar of huna lishmatzach bebovel. He already explained the Gemara like this previously. Damer of huna, hoist behemus chaveira, roots of nevaris kuchavim. If somebody else's animal was laying in front of the Avodah Zarah, as soon as somebody did even the smallest act, normally we know shechita means shechting both simanim, the kana and the veshet. Here, if he just did shechita on one of the simanim, asra. And like Rashi goes on to explain, the Gemara is trying to prove that even though it's not a very significant act, as long as it's a physical act on the animal itself, it makes the animal into nevad. And that's why Rashi says it's talking about a case of roftza. Roftza means that the animal is laying. And that the person who did this didn't even pick up the animal. Because if he picked up the animal, that would be a kinyan hagbo. Mnol and Asra. Ask the Gemara, where do we know that doing a physical act on the animal makes it into a nevet? Elaim of the kahanim. We know, we discussed in the previous year, that if kahanim do avoida for avoida zara, they become disqualified to do any avoida in the base of Mikdash. Says, well, you can't bring a raya from people to animals. But dilma shani kahanim, the b'nei dayin inu. Says, Gemara, v'ela, mi'avni mizbeach. We learned in previous year that the avni mizbeach that became defiled by the yavonim can no longer be used for the mizbeach. Says, you can't bring a raya from there either. The Dumakir Rapapa, as we learned the other day, the Pasuk says, Ubo bo pritzim v'chilalua, that there was a special situation that the Avonim became disqualified. Certainly, and the Mefarshim explained, going back to review what we learned the other day in Daf Nun Beis, certainly according to the Rishonim that say that it was Klai Yisrael that defiled first those Avonim, we can't bring a raya from there to a regular situation. Even if we'll say it wasn't, that's not Pash Peshat, Chas V'Shom, that Klai Yisrael should have defiled the Avonim. But we learned that it's a special Gzeiris HaKosev, Uvor B'Pritz V'Chalalu, you can't use that as a source for other areas in Halacha. Ella Mikhailim. We discussed this also the other day in Daf Nun Beis, where the Pasuk teaches us that Ochaz, who was the father of Chizkiyah, went and used the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, the Ksiv, for Avodah Zarah, and the Pasuk says, V'skola Kalim Azniach HaMelech Ochaz B'malchusoy B'malu Hichonu V'Akdoshanu. From a man, we learned the Gemara, what does it mean? Hichanu Shigonznum, that those of Kalim, given that they were used for Avodah Zarah, were put away. V'gdashnu, Shigdashnu Acherim Tachteim, other Kalim were designated. And therefore, from there we see that any animal or Kali that was used for Avodah Zarah can no longer be used in the base of Mikdash. Ask the Gemara the fundamental question. Yes, we're referring to a situation where they did a physical act to the animal, but it's still not that person's animal. So how does he have the ability to prohibit it? Answers the Gemara, even though those kelim didn't belong to Chachos, they belong to the Beis HaMikdash. Still the Torah teaches us, the Pasuk teaches us, it's true because he used those kelim for his Avodah Zarah. Similarly says the Gemara here too, kivin she'asa b'masa asa. Says the Gemara, going back to another halacha that we've discussed numerous times. that is that karka, something that's mechubal karka, doesn't become avodah zarah. Alohayim alohorim, v'loy ahorim alohayim. However, says the Gemara, kiyasar avdimi amar av yoichan, af bish amar amashtach lo karka oylam loy asra, if somebody bows down to karka, it doesn't become prohibited. However, chofa babayra sikhram aris, if somebody did a physical act to the karka, asra. Two machloikas rishonim here. One machloikas rishonim is, what does it mean that the karka becomes asra? Some rishonim means that the pit itself becomes asra. Others say it doesn't mean the pit, it means the loose ground that you dug out to make the pit. Another machloikas rishonim is, does it have to be that after you got this karka, you bow down? Or could it be, even if you bow down to this place before you made the physical change, it still could be designated as avodah zarah? Continues the Gemara, Kiyasar Hashmu Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ab Bishomer HaMishtach L'Bal Chayim, as we've been learning, if somebody worships a Bal Chay, Loi Osron, however, Osro Chilipin L'Avod Chavim, if somebody exchanges something for avodah zarah, Osro, which means as follows. The Rishonim say there's two ways of understanding the Gemara. If a Jew sells his avodah zarah and gets money in exchange, or a Jew buys an avodah zarah and he gives money for it, that money becomes chalipi avodah zarah and has the same din as avodah zarah. Kiyas Ravan, Amar, Pligba Rav Shmuel Rav Yosef Rabbanan. There's a machlokes regarding the subject. Chanama chalipin asurim, what's actually used as a transfer for avodah zarah becomes asur. Chalipi chalipin matarim. That means, if somebody went and sold his avodah zarah and got money, and now that money went and he bought something else with that, does that iser keep on going further? The charamer afil chalipa chalipa nami yisurim. Ask the Gemara, my tam demand om chalipa chalipa nasurim, that says that the iser keeps on traveling. Om akra, because the pasuk says, v'yisa chayrim kamelihu, to teach us, kol shat mechayim imenu, anything that comes from the avodah zarah, harei kamayu. And therefore, not only the chalipa avodah zarah asur, but even the chalipa chalipa. Vidach, how does the other man damer explain? Isn't the pasuk very clear? Amakrahu, strictly the avodah zarah and its chalipin, v'loy chalipin chalipin. Ask the Mara, and the man damer that says chalipa chalipin are asur, what's he going to do with this word who? Answers the Gemara, to teach us the halacha by orla and klayim, shemachar v'kiddush b'dameim v'kudeshes, which means as follows. Very important halacha. If somebody sold orla, and then he got money for that orla, and he used that money to be mekadosh an isha, the halacha is the kedushin will be valid. The Rishonim debate why. Some Rishonim explain that kedushin, since it's a mitzvah of getting married, peri verivya, Chazal relaxed their isser and said that it's mutter. That's one explanation. Another explanation is that the woman really didn't do anything. In other words, if a man went and sold Arla and got money and then used that money to be mekadesh the isha, she didn't do any aveira. And since she didn't do any aveira, the halach is we could be more lenient. The Mishnah Melech actually uses this Gemara to discuss a shayla if something is only osim v'drabonim. We know the first Mishnah of Sechta Kedushin, Hishim is Kadeshes v'prutu v'shavaprut, that has to have value. What happens if something is osim v'drabonim? Would the Kedushin be valid? And he wants to use this Gemara as a raya that is valid. Vidach, all of a color of crime, let's shrich miuta. We don't need a pasuk to say that the chalif and a mutar. Because the Torah teaches us specifically by avodah zarah and shviyas that the chalipin are osur, and we know we have a rule throughout Shas that wherever the Torah says the same rule twice, what did the Torah have to say it twice? The Torah could have said it once, and we should learn from there to all other areas of halacha. So we know kol shnei ksum kabayim keechad ein melamdim avodah kachavim that the chalipin are osur is how the amar that we have been discussing. Shviyas diksiv, kiyovel hi kodesh tiyalachem, mak kodesh taifas damer, that if somebody redeems kodesh, the money that's used becomes kodesh, v'osur, af shvius tefeses es the meva surah. Ima kaidish tefes the meva yotzul chulin, which means like this. If I have something that's kaidish and I sell it, so it loses the kedusha, right? So here too, perhaps, it loses the af shvius, that if somebody sells shvius product, so the money should become shvius and the produce no longer. Perhaps we should suggest af shvius tefeses the meva yotzul chulin, tamaloimer, the Perish Shvius always remain Shvius. Okay, so what does that mean? Look, Perish Shvius Basar. I walk into a store, not me, hopefully. Somebody walks into a store and he has Shvius produce and he buys meat with that. Eleva Elam is Baran B'Shvius. The Shvius produce is still Shvius produce. And now that the meat was used as an exchange for Shvius, the meat has the Aloch of Shemitah. And we know that there's a din of all Shvius product. Has that be your shvius? The nat is a very interesting halacha. Lachka v'basa dogim, yotze basar, nichnasa dogim. What happens is that he took the meat, and he exchanged that meat for fish. So, given that the meat is not inherently Shemitah product, the meat is no longer considered Shemitah, but a fish now. And so the line goes on. Yotze basar, nichnasa dogim. B'dogim yayin, now I exchanged the fish for wine. Yotze dogim nichnas yayin. Yayin b'yayin. Yotze dogim nichnas yayin. B'yayin shemen. Now I make butter, giving the wine and getting oil. Yotze yayin v'nichnas shemen. Okay, tzad. What's the bottom line? Achron nitzvus b'shvius. The last item, the shvita product remains having on it the kedusha shvius, and the last product has on it the kedusha shvius. Upri atzmei osur, but the pre itself always remains osur. So now, ask the Gemara, this is a situation of shnei ksuma boim keechod. So why do we need a limud to exclude ola and kale kerem from the halacha of chalipin? They're automatically excluded. The fact that the Torah had to say the same din twice, answers the Gemara, kasover, this tan is the mandama who holds, even if the Torah says the same din twice, that doesn't stop us from being able to use it for all other areas of halacha. And therefore, since Shemitah and Avodah Zarah, even though the Torah says the halacha of Chalipin, under normal circumstances, we would extend it to Oral and Kalei Kerem. What stops it from doing us? That's who, he uses the words who, Mtunu, to tell us that they should not be extended to the case of Oral and Kalei Kerem. And therefore, the somebody is mekadosh and isha with the chalipin of oral and kalei kerem, the kedushin is a valid kedushin. A number of points to be made. One is the rishonim debate. Goes back to what I discussed a moment ago. Is it strictly a halacha that the chalipin of oral and kalei kerem can be used for kedushin, but for no other area of halacha? That's how some rishonim explain the Gemara. Others say no, that the din of chalipin doesn't apply by oral and kalei kerem under all circumstances, even not for the mitzvah of Kedushin. There's a very big problem based on this Gemara. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach discusses this problem, the Menachos Yitzchak discusses this problem. The Gemara is saying, that if I have a store, that I sell Shemitah product, and you walk into the store, and you give me money, the Shemitah product become, to buy that product, I shouldn't be selling it. But let's say I sell Shemitah product. The money becomes, the Shemitah product is still Shemitah product, but the money also gets Kedusha Shvius. So they ask, if you walk into a store in Israel during the Shemitah year, and there are many stores that are not following Hilchah Shemitah, and you buy something, you're not buying a fruit, you buy a bottle of soda, and you give him a 10 shekel note. He gives you a change. That change might have been money that he received for the Shemitah product that he sells, because he has in the store Shemitah products. And our Gemara is saying that the Kedusha Shvius transfers to whatever was used to buy Shemitah product with. So that money is Usur. So how can you take that money home? Very big problem. And they both grapple with the problem, and the only answer that they come up with is Rav. Since most products that are sold are not Shemitah product, we could safely assume that the money wasn't used to buy Shemitah product. We could rely on Roif, and that's why the money isn't Usser. According to that approach, let's say you go into a store that most of the products that that store is selling are Shemitah products. Let's say it's a fruit and vegetable store that most of the products are fruits and vegetables of Shemitah. And he also happens to have a refrigerator with some bottles of soda. You don't have a Roif, and you would not be allowed to buy not only fruits and vegetables in that store, you can't even buy a bottle of soda in that store.